Jane Ann Phillips is one of America's most admired and best-loved writers. The author of 3 previous novels and 2 collections of widely anthologized stories, Phillips' latest book is Lark and Termite, set in the 1950s in West Virginia and Korea, a powerful tale of family secrets, absent parents, and the chaos of war. Lark and Termite has 2 children in its title and at its center. The author read a brief passage from the book when we spoke.
Winfield, West Virginia, July 26, 1959. Lark. Termite, I say to him, and he says it back to me. He always gets the notes right without saying the words. His sounds are like a one-toned song, and the day is still and flat. It's 7 in the morning, and here and there a little bit of air moves in pieces like a tease, like things are getting full so slow no one notices. On the kitchen wall we have one of those glass vials with blue water in it, and the water rises if it's going to storm. The water's all the way to the top, and it's like a test now to wait and see if the thing works or if it's so cheap it's already broken. Termite, I tell him, I'll fix the radio, don't worry. He's got to have something to listen to. He moves his fingers the way he does, with his hands up and all his fingers pointing, then curving, each in a separate motion, fast or careful. He never looks at his fingers, but I always think he hears or knows something through them, like he does it for some reason. Charlie says he's just spastic. That's a spastic motion. Noni says he's fidgety with whatever he has that he can't put to anything. His fingers never stop moving unless we give him something to hold. Then he holds on so tight we have to pry whatever it is away from him. Noni says that's just cussedness. I think when he holds something, his fingers rest. He doesn't always want to keep hearing things.
Very nice, thank you. This must have been the most difficult, in some ways, part of writing this novel. You're inside the head of a hydrocephalic young boy, a 9-year-old, and no one really knows what's in there. How did you go about finding out?
Well, I think writers are more or less born with permeable boundaries, which can be a bad thing, but for an artist, it's the kind of requirement. I didn't actually intend to ever represent Termite's point of view, but I simply was kind of pulled into it as I got deeper and deeper into the material of the book. And I try to represent, you know, in language, someone who doesn't use language. He's very involved with sound, with image, with movement, with vibration almost.
I'm listening to you talk, and it occurs to me that I know a great deal more about Termite than anyone listening to us right now will. And it's probably worth talking a little bit about the difficulties that he faces. He's 9 years old. He is hydrocephalic. He can't talk.
He's minimally hydrocephalic, his Aunt Noni is told. And she's also told that his spine didn't close right. In 1959, in a small town in West Virginia, that's about all the labeling that people did of him. Some people think that he's not aware. Other people think he is. Lark, specifically, his half-sister, believes that he even may know things that no one else knows. And as we get deeper and deeper into the book, we begin to sort of discover that's true.
Yeah. The interaction between them, of course, is part of the joy of reading the novel. And it's interesting to hear you say you feel so strongly about children. You like writing about children because, in a way, you write about the childhood of just about everybody in the story. The children, Lark, who is older than
17, turned, yeah.
She's almost double his age. And their mother, Lola, who is as interesting in many ways as a child, which you discover as you go along, as she is as an adult. Noni, too, for that matter, Lola's sister, their aunt.
Mm-hmm. And Lovett. I mean, I think you do need to start at the beginning, but you don't have to start at the beginning to start at the beginning. I mean, this book sort of telescopes the pasts of all these characters with
time
very
is,
specific
Time is not
images.
Fixed in this, is it?
Right, right. Time moves. And just as we hold in our heads past, present, and future, I mean, we're driving along in the car and we're not really even cognizant of where we are because we're so deeply into a thought or a fantasy or a memory or a wish or a hope. I very much, you know, I want to communicate perception itself and the fact that we all live really on several planes of experience at once.
One of the articles I read about you said that you write with all 5 senses. Do you think that's true? Is that related to what you were saying?
Yeah. I mean, I feel as though every reader brings a kind of world of experience to reading a book. And there are all kinds of associative cues, you know, in language that people react to very individually and sometimes even unconsciously. And I think that's all part of the power and mystery of language and literature. And I really want that to sort of just reverberate in my work.
So you don't approach storytelling in precisely the same way that it traditionally is done. There's not a beginning, a middle, and an end, or rather there is, but it isn't necessary that they occur in exactly that order.
I think that time really kind of moves in a spiral, sort of starts at a center and keeps moving outward, and it's almost moving inward and outward at the same time, if that doesn't sound too esoteric.
Well, I'm trying to understand the difference that you're implying between fiction and nonfiction, historical fact and historical truth and literary truth. They need to go together. They enhance each other, but their storytelling techniques are different.
My experience in my work is that if I'm talking about the ineffable, I must do so with extremely physical details, with details that are so right in terms of their sensory feel. In other words, it's only the reality, a truly evolved reality, is the only thing that can sort of support inside a novel the endlessness of time or the repetition of pattern or the strangeness of circumstance.
This is why maybe there's a point in the novel when his Aunt Noni says of Termite, so much was taken from that child before he was even born, yet he always seems to want exactly what he has. In some ways, that's what you're describing. It's actually one of the more positive things in the novel.
Yeah, it's a novel about very serious things, about loss and death on a vast scale. But it is also an extremely hopeful book in its own way.
Jane Ann Phillips is the author of Lark and Termite. The book was a finalist for the National Book Award.